on all these little ones as a reminder that God believes in our future. So, today we begin a new series, Signpost Series. And you'll be learning each week of a different signpost, but we're thinking of these signposts as things that mark followers of Jesus. So, if you're a follower of Jesus, there are some signs that point you to Jesus. And these are some of the things that we are going to be studying together. And today, we are going to begin with the signpost of hospitality. And to do that, we're going to look at a text from Genesis 18. You can join me in reading this together. You're going to miss our storytellers today. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them. Bowed down to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourself, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, kneaded and made cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. The Jews think of this text. It's a text of hospitality where Abraham treated the guests as angels unaware, which in fact they were. They would announce that Abraham and Sarah in their 80 years would be having a son, and God would fulfill God's promise to them to make a great nation through Abraham. Today we're going to talk about hospitality. When I say the word hospitality, there are at least four words that come from that root that we use quite a bit today, and I'm wondering if any of you can think of what those words are. Hospice is one of them. Hospital is another one of them. Hostel is one of them, like a youth hostel. Hospital, there it is. Hospital, hospice, hostel, and one more. I'll think about that, but it's not in there. One more. Yeah, he did sit to make fancy, but just, Toast, no. It's not the one that comes from the same root. The last word that comes from the same root is hotel. What words can you think of when you look at those words? When you think of hospitality, hospice, hospital, hotel, and hostel, not hostel as in being hostel, but hostel as in a youth hostel. What can anybody tell me anything that they have in common? They're all caring for other people, yes. What else? Can you think of other things that they have in common? Shelter. We all have shelter in one form or another. Okay, people are passing through on their journey in almost all these, whether it's a hospital or a hospital or office. Great, it's a part of the journey. Good. Anybody else? Place of refuge, absolutely. In all of them, they are a place of refuge in need of respite from the elements. Yes. Are you raising your hand, or, yes?
Caring for all parts of
a
person.
Right, it's not just caring for one little aspect of a person, but all these things take care of the whole person, right? They provide food and shelter and care. Right, absolutely. So in the ancient world, I want to talk with you a little bit about the understanding in the ancient world of hospitality, because I think it has an incredible amount to say to us today. Hospitality took on several different forms in the ancient world. The plight of the alien, understand, in the ancient world was desperate. When you lack membership in a tribe or in a community or in a city state or in a nation, and you needed lodging or you needed food, you were an alien. You were literally an alien. And if without these things, you would surely die. So my question to you is, in those days, the aliens were considered the widow, the orphan, the poor, the sojourner from other lands without family or community status. Who would you say today in our culture are aliens? Refugees? Who are aliens in our culture? Lacking community, lacking a place to fit in and belong. Who are today aliens? Immigrants, homeless, minorities, people suffering with AIDS,
mentally ill,
seniors, some of our senior elderly. Anybody else that you think of as alien today? Orphans. People without citizenship who are denied citizenship, that's right. So hospitality in the ancient world was very clearly defined. It was graciously receiving an alienated person into your land, into your home, or your community, and interestingly, providing directly for their needs. Biblical hospitality, as it was understood among our ancient forefathers and foremothers, required this. The reception of travelers into one home. Note, these three people are traveling, and Abraham and Sarah, being good Jews, invite them in and feed them. There's a story that we tell every December 24th. Two people who were sojourners, who needed to be brought in, and they needed shelter, and they needed food, and they needed a place to deliver a baby. Secondly, it required permitting the alienated to harvest the corners of one's field. If you've ever read the book of Ruth, you know that this was called cleaning. That's right. So they were required to think when you entered, they were agricultural people primarily at this time. So when you have your farmland, you didn't only think about providing for you and your family and your tribe and your village, but you also thought of leaving some for the people who needed it. Today, one of the things we encourage is plant a row. So if you have a garden, just plant a row, it's not going to even be kept for you, it's automatically going to be given. This year, our community gardens have already cleaned twice and are going to be cleaning. They cleaned the seed farm and they cleaned the Rodale. So places where there are farms where it's been harvested, but there's always some left, we will be cleaning and we take it. So in essence, what it was saying is, you don't only provide it for yourself when you plant it, but you provided some for those who did not have it. Does that make sense? Thirdly, it required clothing of the native. Nobody should have to go without clothes. It also required tithing food for the needy. So you were to take whatever the Lord gave you in your crop, and you were to tithe or give 10% over to people who couldn't pay or didn't have land or needed food. Hospitality also required including the alien in religious celebrations. So in other words, it was never a closed club. Never a closed club. Never just for Jews, right? As this should never be a closed club. It should always be open to anybody who wants to come. Nobody should be rejected who before. I just got done reading of a woman who went to a church, and she was told at the door that she would be welcome when she cleaned up her act and got dressed appropriately for worship. Guess who never returned? We accept and welcome people as they are and as they come. And then this one was very important, sharing in a communal meal. And why this was so important was because to share food in the ancient world was to share life. To share food was a gesture of intimacy that created a bond of friendship. Can you think of illustrations that you have heard over the years of Jesus sharing food when he was condemned for it because he hung out with those people, right? Because he was engaging intimacy. He was engaging in saying, you are my friend, which was not seen favorably by the religious. Who are some of the people that Jesus engaged in a communal meal? Tax collectors. Pharisees. Think, stretch your brain, think a whole bunch more. Prostitutes. Lepers. And who did he have that really important meal that we're going to be practicing next week with? The Last Supper, right? He had to share that meal with the disciples and some of the women, right? He would go to the Pharisees' house, and he was a religious. Women of the evening showed up, and they had a meal together. Okay, so we have these many experiences of communal life where you sat down at table together and you acknowledged in sharing and breaking bread together that you were friends. I wonder if you have any observations when you think about this list. Look at the list of things that people who are going to associate their name with Jesus are supposed to be doing. Can you tell me anything? Does anything strike you from that list? Anything else? Like when you look at that list, like, does anything strike you? Anything with you? Anything go, never thought about that? Well, they're naked. Never really thought about hospitality. But think about it, if you were naked, it would be kind of nice if somebody gave you something to cover up a little bit. Especially with these aging body things. What are they using for you? Samaritan on the road, just totally took care of him, right? He kind of did all these things, right? Remember they beat him and they stripped him, gave him clothing, right? He didn't know if he was an alien or not, but he took care of him. He gave his money to see that he was what? Fed and cared for. And he certainly received him because he didn't have a home, he received him on his animal and took him to the choices. Let me ask this question. What do you think the hospitality looks like today in our space? What do you think hospitality looks like today? Red Cross, there's an illustration of hospitality. What does it look like today? Hospitality. What does it look like today?
It's amazing turning into the party and the storm in Florida, people are coming to help those people. I actually heard the governor in Florida tell people that if you're safe, if you're in a safe place, a safe home, invite people into your home, even if you're strangers.
That would be awesome.
conclusions that you have and your hope for them are almost true.
Welcome to the neighborhood, right, Timothy? Daybreak. That's a great illustration of hospitality. It's daybreak. So we have lots of ways in our culture, certainly, to extend a hospitality. There's a really key reason why the Jews were expected to extend hospitality. And it's because God wanted them to remember their history. God's people were alienated. They were dependent on God for hospitality. God redeemed them from Egypt. He clothed them. He fed them. He gave them a home. And then he says to them, because you're all cozy and comfortable, and that would kind of describe all of us, he says, don't ever forget, because you were the alien. You were the one without a home. You were the one without food. You were the one without a place to lie in your head. God never wants us to forget the times we were the alien, the times maybe sometimes we still feel like the alien. Have you ever been in a room that's filled with people that you feel like an alien in the room? I know I have. God continues to welcome and provide and accept us where we are. And God says, if this is my nature and this is what I have shown and revealed to you, I want you to do the same to other people. As God's people received the love of God, they were to love and care for others. And God says, particularly the alienated. Like God has this, I think, this warm spot in his heart for the people on the edges, right? And I think God is still saying to us today, you received my love. And so I want you to give it away as freely as you have received. So I want to talk with you just a little bit about hospitality, because I think the cheapest definition of hospitality is when you just kind of, we think of like putting out cookies for somebody. But I want to talk with you, I want to take this a little bit deeper. And the first thing I want to say about hospitality is this. Hospitality interrupts. It interrupts your schedule. You get a telephone call from somebody and you see them, you're not alone again. But he needs to talk. And he needs a friend because he doesn't have another friend. Hospitality interrupts. Because it presents itself when we're not expecting it. I was walking into my office a few months ago. And I read the article about the community garden that works in our building. And he said, hey, I saw that article. And I said, yeah, we're really excited. We're doing these gardens. And I said, we're reaching out and we're gardening with the Jewish communities and the Muslim communities. He said, stop right there. He said, Muslims are taking over this country and they're going to kill all of us. Now, I had a choice to stop what I'm doing, which was racing into my office. And I have a choice to engage him, right? I have a choice to confront him. I have a choice to rage at him. I have a choice to lay into him. I have a choice to be quiet and say nothing. I have a choice. And I just said to him, I said, you know, I recognize that there are Muslims who are doing some pretty evil things. I said, but I've had several Muslim families to my home. I said, do you know any Muslim families? And he said, no. And I said, well, maybe you should get to know a Muslim family and you might change your opinion. Hospitality interrupts. Think of how often Jesus is on his way to something and somebody stops him. Will you heal my daughter? Will you do this? Will you do this? And how often, what does Jesus do? He stops and he engages. And he provides, and he teaches, and he loves. Hospitality interrupts our schedules. And here we are thinking, I'm going to do this, 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 and this day. I can't tell you how many days after I walk into the office, and here's my to-do list, I'm going to do 10 things, and I walk out of the office, and I have not done one of the 10 things. Because I walk into my office, and this person's in crisis, and this person went to the hospital, and he's a messy hospitality interactions. Secondly, hospitality creates a place for wayfarers and strangers to become friends. It's interesting that if you read Matthew, Mark, or Luke, John, and look at this life of Jesus, no one went away from Jesus unknown. He knew how to open people up, and how he did it was he sat down and meal with them. How many times, just look there sometimes, how many times does Jesus invite himself to dinner? I'm coming to your house today. He's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go get the ham on. Okay? Well, I guess it's a big one. Sorry about that. When he's faced with a mother's love for her sick child, when he's faced with a leper's gratitude for his healing, when he's faced with a centurion's concern for his ill servant, he allows himself to be interrupted. And he creates a safe place. Jesus can't seem, you've ever noticed, he can't seem to stay focused on the religious otherness of people. It doesn't really seem to matter to him. He focuses on their humanness. He focuses, and sometimes it even requires him to go against the teachings of the law. He feeds people in a time he's not supposed to. He rescues people on a Sabbath where he's not supposed to. Because the human somehow becomes more important than the letter of the law. Thirdly, hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. I think what this is trying to say is, if you're truly hospitable, you're not making somebody your project. What you're doing is you're welcoming somebody into your space and freeing them to be who they are and to discover God in the midst of them. I think the community that we are planning right now called Blank Slate is going to create a place of hospitality where people can come as they are and they can share what they believe or what they don't believe or their questions about their belief, and it's a safe place to become. Hopefully we are about that everywhere that we are. Hospitable people welcome strangers as we ourselves have been welcomed into God through the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we started with. It's just kind of a review. Have you ever gone someplace and not known anybody? And you're in this room of total strangers? And you are so thankful to God when somebody comes up and says, hi, I'm so-and-so, I don't think I've met you before. You just kind of, your whole soul kind of, that's what hospitality does. If you put yourself in the place of the newcomer, or the place of the alien, what makes you feel welcomed? When you're the alien, when you're the stranger in a place, what makes you feel welcome? What makes you feel like somebody has extended hospitality to you? A smile? Greeting, a handshake, a fist bump, what makes you feel? Example, the She talked to us the rest of the time we were there. She made sure we had coffee. She made sure we had everything. It just opened her up because she was valued.
Yeah, she was valued.
Hospitality values people. Anybody else? What else? Has no boundaries.
Hospitality nowadays, especially with all that's going on, can just be listening.
Yeah, it can just mean listening. That's the greatest gift you can do, right? 2 years, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. And I think there's a difference between, I'm sure some of you have been places where there's an usher who kind of has this fake feel and can do like a program or something like that, no eye contact or anything. And there's a big difference between that. Somebody hands it to you and says, hey, we are so glad you're here, welcome. There's a big difference, isn't there, between a duty that you have to do and really receiving somebody. And I think you know the difference intuitively. Let's look at this. Hospitality is risky and sometimes dangerous. In Honduras, I had to go to a home that was somewhat strange. I got bit by a dog. I actually thought I had rabies. When I was in Romania with Cheryl and Bob, we literally had a government person follow us all around. Everywhere we went, they were there. Sometimes when you extend hospitality, there is some risk involved. Sometimes it's dangerous. Sometimes, you get rejected. I went up to a homeless person one time, and I took him a meal, and he looked at me and he said, "God, you're annoying me." Just because it's homeless doesn't mean it has to be nice. Right? Sometimes it's risky. Sometimes you get rejected. Sometimes it doesn't work out as you thought. Next slide, please. Hospitality changes both the host and the guest. When I'm in Honduras and I'm preaching in a language and setting that I don't understand, and I'm a fish out of water, but as a guest, I'm welcome and warmly received and loved. Or when Rabbi Sack overlooks my Gentile guests. I just say things I'm not supposed to say. And I don't realize it before I said it. And then he's very kind. He's like, see, you might want to, like, right? Yeah, like not feeding Jesus him. Like being the guest preacher in New York a couple of years ago and finding myself in the hospital and being picked up at 5 o'clock in the morning by my host so that I could go preach. By such gracious hosts, we meet sometimes as a guest. We meet Christ, right? We meet that angel unaware. And those angels make us not feel like a stranger anymore, but like a friend. So, in closing, I just want to give you a few ideas about how we might offer hospitality, just like at the barn. Go up and greet someone you don't know. Don't automatically look at the person you do know. Go up and introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. Sit with somebody who's not sitting with anybody. I have some people tell me they don't want to come because they have to sit alone. I appreciate you have to sit alone here. Husbands and wives don't have to sit together. A husband can sit with one person, a wife can sit with another person. But sit by somebody that you don't know. Go chat with them. Get to know them. Offer someone to come in and sit with kids and say, take a break today, Mom and Dad. I'm going to sit with your kids. You know what? They'll be so much better for you. They offer Mom and Dad, right? They're like, who are you? Invite somebody to lunch after the gathering. Just say, hey, you have any lunch plans? Why don't we go have lunch together and get to know them? In a very simple way, at Sunday, we're going to invite you to do something. Jim's asked that, because we're talking about hospitality today, that today when you do a Sunday, that you find somebody you don't know, you take them to Sunday, and you make their Sunday, and they make yours. So they tell you what they want on theirs, and you tell them what you want on yours, And particularly we want this with kids too. Now they might not feel totally safe. You might have to drive your parent along, but with our kids as well. Some of you don't really know. Make their Sunday, sit with them, get to know them. It's so much easier to be with people you already know. But we don't really grow in hospitality so much when we do that. How can you offer hospitality outside of Florida? Maybe, this is lots of my new rule in our house. We do not invite somebody to our house, number one, unless it's an odd number. And number two, unless the next time we invite somebody to our house, they don't look like us. They don't talk the same language, they're not of the same ethnicity, they're not of the same. Every single time, we won't allow ourselves to invite people who look like us until we invite the people who don't. And we don't have enough balls. Like, literally, we don't have enough balls. So challenge yourself. Stretch yourself. Be interruptible. When an opportunity presents itself to be welcoming to a stranger, take it in. I was on my way into the grocery store the other day, and this woman, I could just tell she was really upset. And I walked up to her and I said, "Do you need a hug?" And she just broke down. And I gave her a hug. But you gotta be interruptible, right? Because if I had done what I was really gonna do, which was zip into the store and zip right back out of the store because I'm always trying to catch up with myself, that would never have happened. And I think of how many times, sadly, I've seen where I could be interrupted and I haven't permitted myself to be interrupted. I got this sense from the Holy Spirit that I was to call my maid of honor from my wedding multiple times. And I was just too busy and I couldn't do it. So I met with her about 6 months later and I said, "Hey, like 6 months ago, like, are you going through something or something? Because I like had this urge to call you, but I didn't do it." And she said, "Oh, yeah." And then she told me all that she was going through. And I said, "This is..." I wasn't interruptible. Walk alongside. Befriend. Welcome into your life someone who others reject. Let your family, let your home, let your presence be a safe, inviting place for the stranger, because who knows? You may be in the presence